in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So what did UPS find so desirable about the 220 MHz amateur band that it persuaded the FCC to reallocate 40% for its own? I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report that will be a little painful to those of you who will remember when the 220 MHz amateur band extended from 220 to 225 MHz. What drove the United Parcel Service to lust after the bottom 2 MHz of the 220 MHz amateur band? We have to go back to 1990 to an interview Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, had with Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, a consulting engineer specializing in radio frequency design work in Southern California. Some of you will recognize his voice from the early days of the Westlink Radio, better known today as the Amateur Radio Newsline. But at the 1990 Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio, Hendershot was demonstrating a then exotic technology called Amplitude Companded Single Sideband.
ACSB is nothing more than an advanced form of single sideband. It adds basically a pilot tone, a 3100 Hz tone, that is used for frequency, fine-tuning, automatic frequency control, and as an amplitude reference to cover AGC. And also, there's an expander and compressor system in it that helps reduce apparent background noise to the ear. The system does work very well, but it has problems as you go up in frequency. Some technologies that need to be refined before this is going to work well above 2 meters. Right now, ACSB is used commercially in the VHF band from 138 to 174 megahertz. The problem that is no doubt confronting the people working on the UPS radios is the mobile flutter rate at 220 megahertz is much higher. That flutter rate is what causes the problem because the tracking of the pilot tone becomes much more difficult. The level of the pilot tone jumps up and down faster and the circuits can't follow it. At 2 meters, everything works good, but at 220, it starts to get ratty. There are techniques for dealing with it, but obviously they haven't mastered them yet. Probably the biggest single application this has for amateur radio is in the 2-meter band, where there are so few frequencies available for things like repeaters. 2 meters has just had such phenomenal growth over the last 2 decades that it's virtually impossible to find a repeater frequency on 2 meters anymore in many areas. That could be changed. ACSB only needs a 5 kHz channel to work effectively, whereas FM, even at 15 kHz, you still have adjacent channel interference that is very noticeable and severe. You can stick in a 15 kHz wide channel, you can stick 3 ACSB emissions and lose them in there no problem. And that's really the benefit of ACSB, is it's a good substitute at 2 meters for FM. It has better range because it's single sideband. The narrower bandwidth radio has better sensitivity just all the way around. And yet it looks, feels, and sounds like FM when it runs. And that's its advantage. It acts like FM, but it has the narrower bandwidth properties of ACSB.
I guess the obvious question is, would ACSB be more practical than going multiplex with FM, where you have repeaters literally sharing 2 audio channels on 1 frequency?
It still comes down to a matter of bandwidth. If you share 2 audio channels on 1 FM transmitter, that bandwidth of that transmitter is going to be twice as wide as 1 normal audio channel. There's no free lunch. Adding multiplex channels still increases bandwidth, and the most efficient way to use that bandwidth is with single sideband rather than FM.
So even with FM multiplexing, so to speak, a repeater that normally might be 10 cases or 15 cases wide actually doubles?
That's correct. If you put more than one channel on, if you double the baseband bandwidth by adding a second multiplex channel, you're going to double the transmitted bandwidth as well. So that doesn't buy you anything. You might as well just have 2 separate FM channels.
Well, it's something I thought in multiplexing in a stereo configuration, where repeater A is on the left channel and repeater B is on the right, that would take up the same amount of space.
It doesn't work that way. If, for instance, in FM stereo, a monaural FM broadcast in broadcast audio occupies frequency spectrum up to about 20 kilohertz of audio. But in stereo, there is frequency spectra clear out past 50 kilohertz of audio. Okay, what happens is the multiplex generates additional sidebands of audio, and that's what occupies additional space.
How feasible, though, is amplitude compander sideband? Who's building the equipment? What's it going to cost, especially from a repeater point of view?
The difference in cost for ACSB is not that much. It is a little bit more because you're using single sideband radios. But those radios are just standard single sideband radios with some outboard audio processing. First of all, there's surplus commercial equipment now showing up on the market. Well, it's been 8 years since that stuff was introduced or more. So there is stuff on VHF that's suitable for 2 meters. It's admittedly crystal controlled, but it's available and is quite usable and serviceable. There have been some surplus boards. Matter of fact, several people in the AMSAT program managed to rat up a bunch of surplus ACSB boards a couple, 3 years ago, and we're playing with them through the satellite. There is a lot of stuff coming available. Additionally, a person who has a single sideband, a multi-mode type rig or something like that, can with some work convert the radio without too much circuitry and cost and get on that way.
Will ACSSB sound any different than regular old SSB?
Oh, absolutely. Regular single sideband is affected by tuning. Pauses between speech, you hear the noise come up. ACSSB sounds just like FM. It's quiet between voice peaks. It doesn't come up because the pilot holds a reference. It's never out of tune because the receiver phase locks to the transmitter so that the voice sounds absolutely like an FM radio. It's almost scary how accurate it sounds. It sounds just like an FM set.
So technically the receiver actually tracks the transmitter.
That's correct. It's a tracking type of thing. It has automatic frequency control.
You're listening to a Rain replay from 1990, featuring Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, a strong proponent at the time of amplitude compandered single sideband, ACSSB. Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, and Jim had a conversation in the Rain booth that year. We'll conclude our look at the ill-fated technology in a moment. The Rain Report is available on demand from therainreport.com, now tablet and mobile friendly, at The Rain Report on Twitter and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
One distinct advantage about having a single sideband transmitter for a repeater is obviously you don't have the wear and tear on the finals that you do with FM.
That's true. You don't transmit as much average power. Your peak power is the same, let's say. If you have a 25-watt PEP transmitter, the peak is going to be 25 watts, but the average is going to be much lower, say 10 or 15 watts. That is offset a little bit by the fact that the amplifier has to be linear because it's single sideband, but still, overall, you do save power and you do save heat.
You mentioned before, of course, ACSSB would be more efficient and have better coverage. Is it affected any more by propagation anomalies than FM is, or in different ways?
It's actually affected less. One of the problems that FM has, if you get into a multipath environment, let's say you're in a bad terrain situation, multipath causes a lot of distortion on FM. It doesn't do that on single sideband. And if you want a good demonstration of that, get on 10 meters single sideband and listen around. At the same time, flip up to the 29 meg FM portion of the band and listen on FM. You'll hear a lot more distortion on the FM typically from the multipath that goes on 10 meters. So I, as a matter of fact, just finished some tests for a customer where we compared the two, ACSSB and FM. FM was the clear loser in a multipass situation.
And of course, in a state like California, where you have so many foothills and mountains, that's a major consideration.
It's a serious problem there, and that is a very major consideration for us.
Why not just go with digital audio?
Bandwidth. You still have to have quite a bit of bit rate to recover decent audio. Now, that's improving as technology comes along, but still the issue comes down to when you have the digital information, you have to modulate it onto an RF carrier somehow. And right now, a lot of people do that, especially in packet, for instance, and I spoke at the packet forum about this. They do it with FM. When they do that, they are generating a lot more bandwidth than they would if they send it up as single sideband. The AMSAT folks know this, and they do all of their digital stuff as much as possible anyway, with some notable exceptions, but most of the time when they want efficiency, they use a form of single sideband to send their data. So even if we go digital audio, ACSB may very well be the best way to send that data.
Can digitized audio be squashed down enough that it can be carried in a 5 kc bandwidth?
Maybe not, although there is some work in that direction. There are now some really advanced systems that can take audio and send it down to 4,800 bit per second data. And ACSB can carry that in its normal bandwidth. But there is no reason why ACSB's bandwidth can't be expanded to accommodate that. If you needed, for instance, a 5 kilohertz audio passband for your data instead of a 3 kilohertz passband, which is what it now gives, you could modify the crystal filters, change things, and make it happen, make the bandwidth of the radio wider. The radio could conceivably be, for instance, 15 kilohertz wide, and you could send hi-fi through it if you really want to.
What kind of sidebands do you have with ACSSB?
It's a conventional single sideband radio. The only difference, if you look at it on a spectrum analyzer, is that at 3100 hertz in the audio pass band of the radio is a pilot tone. If you were to just look at the pilot tone all by itself, it looks like a carrier. Of course, what happens is there's audio in the bandwidth beneath that carrier, below that in frequency. It's an upper sideband transmission, and so you have basically a single sideband emission with a 3100 hertz tone at the top end of it. The 3100 hertz pilot tone is irritating to listen to. However, if you had an outboard filter, you could just get rid of that, like one of these typical QRM eliminator filters. Just tune it to 3100 hertz notch or low pass and get rid of the pilot. The audio will sound somewhat compressed, like it's been run through a processor, which it has, and it'll sound fine other than that. The pilot tone is the key to the whole thing. The pilot tone provides the frequency reference and the amplitude reference that's necessary to make the thing act like FM.
What would the cost differences be in manufacturing a single sideband radio versus one that would work on ACSSB?
The number that I have heard most often is about 10%. I think with the advent of more digital signal processing chips and some of the newer technology that's coming down, there's virtually no reason why it can't be made for the same price.
This has been a brief look at ACSSB, Amplitude Companded Single Sideband, a technology that was doomed from the beginning due to its picket fencing pilot tone issues above 2 meters, its sensitivity to cross-channel interference, and its cost connected with manufacturing 220 MHz mobile radios. UPS apparently didn't plan for these when it persuaded the FCC to take 40% of the 220 to 225 MHz band from the amateur radio service almost 30 years ago. Expounding on the pluses and minuses of ACSSB in this RAIN report was Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, a consulting engineer specializing in radio frequency design work in Southern California. A familiar voice from the early days of the amateur radio newsline, formerly known as Westlink Radio, Jim and RAIN's Hap Holly, KC9RP, conversed about ACSSB in the RAIN booth at the 1990 Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio. The RAIN report is copyright 1990-2017 RAIN. All rights are reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, now tablet and mobile friendly, on Twitter @TheRainReport, and on iTunes. Keep on hamming!